And me, I wanted to remind you too, forgot to mention it earlier, that tonight is the last night for the drive-through nativity down at New Zion. If you've never been down there, Brother Clark Stewart's church down on the way to Covington there on Blonde, they have a drive-through nativity, and it is really worth going down there and looking at. It's a big production they put on. And so if you've never been down there, I'd suggest that you do. And tonight will be the last night you get a chance to go down there and check it out. So if you can, go down there. Turn with us to the 30th Psalm tonight. The 30th Psalm. This psalm here was written by David after he had got his house built there in Israel, when he had been established as the king of Israel. And one thing we need to think about as we read this psalm is all that David has come through to get to this point. Really, him building his house and getting in it and all that is really kind of the for him to get over a lot of things that had happened. As we know, when he gets called out there to kind of gets anointed king and gets thrown into the spotlight in some ways, and how Saul began to hate him and pursue him and try to kill him. And so David has come through a lot of things to get to this point, and we see it in this psalm. Look with me in verse number 1. He said, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, be thy favor, thou hast made my mountain, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. That is, hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me, for me my mourning into dancing. And thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thee thanks unto thee forever." Let's pray together tonight. Father, we bow in the name of Jesus tonight. And God, we just want to say tonight that we love you, and we want to praise and worship you tonight in Lord, in spirit and truth. And God, as we look at this psalm tonight, we see as David has went through many things in his life, and surely everybody here has been through situations and circumstances and difficulties. And God, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into this psalm, Lord, to see some things that we should do to receive some things from you. And God, that you'd help us. Help us to endure. Help us to persevere in the spite of some things that might not seem to be going our way. Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you. We ask that the Holy Spirit be here with us tonight and move and teach our hearts. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this again, there is God's work, and then there's man's responsibility. God is going to do what God can do, but he only does that when we do what we're supposed to do. You see, there is a hand-in-hand situation here that goes with that. You know, we could say that we're going to trust God to do some things, and that's great, but God's not going to come in on our behalf if we're not willing to do what we're going to do. Every church says, there's probably not many churches. There are some that are some kind of what I call maybe some deadbeat churches, but there's not many churches who say, we don't want to see people saved. or we don't want to see people baptized or anything like that. Everybody wants to see people saved, and everybody wants to see them baptized. Everybody wants the church full and all those things. Well, that's great. And we can say, well, we're going to trust God to do it. That's good too. But God also says that we got to go out and be witnesses and be the light of the world. We can't say, well, I'm not going to witness, but I expect God to save people. Or we're not going to preach and we expect God to do something. So there's things we got to do. Well, David here has been brought through many situations. And as we can see it as we read that psalm, God has now delivered him and God has anointed him king and established him king. And now David's built his house and he writes this psalm at the dedication of his house. And so the question is, how did David get here? How did he get through those difficult times where Saul wanted to kill him, where he had to look over his shoulder at every turn, and things didn't look good? How'd that happen? Because I want you to know there's going to be times in our life where things don't always look good, where things don't look like they might turn out as we hope. There'll be times in our life where we have to go through dry seasons and seasons where it seems like God is not answering our prayers like we think he should, or he's not blessing maybe like we think he should. Well, here's how David got through it and made it to this day. Number one, David praised God all the way through his whole circumstances. Look in verse 1. He said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know, as we go through difficulties in life, I want you to know that there is still much to be praising God about. There is still much to be rejoicing in. I've said it a lot here recently. But if God saved us, and that's the last thing he did for us, I want you to know there's still a lot to be praising God about. Amen. I mean, if he saved me, said, Derek, I'm going to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you leave this earth, you're going to come and live with me forever in heaven. But that's it. I'm not going to take care of you one bit while you're on earth. And I'm not going to, folks, we still could praise God that I'm going to have an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, and I'll be blessed forevermore. And so there's a lot to praise God about. We were talking outside before church about seeing, you know, there's a lot of beauty around us if we just look out and see it. You know, I take pictures every now and then with my phone, and I'll tell Laura I'm a photographer. I can't remember what we were talking about the other day, and I said, we had seen some pictures. They said, man, they taking good pictures. I said, well, you know, I'm a photographer, Laura. She said, well, we know you think that you are, but you really not. But, you know, if we just open our eyes and look around, there's a lot of beautiful things right here under our nose. Some pictures that would be on postcards, or some pictures that would be on, that they put on the calendars and all this other stuff that we get. And so in the same light, there's a lot of good things that God has done for us today. And and if truth be known, we've lived through this day and really haven't given a whole lot of thought to how good God has been to us today. If you're like most of us today, maybe, and I don't know what all everybody did today, but we did things, maybe rushed here and there, or maybe ran some errands or had people over or whatever we did. But man, God's been really good to us today. He's let us wake up today. Man, he let all y'all come here tonight. Y'all could have been laid up at home, sick or in the hospital or having something else going on. But you're here today. And God has blessed us in so many ways. And so we need to praise the Lord through all these things. We need to remember, first off, his holiness. Because he said, that's what he said first. In verse 4, he said, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know what I'm glad about and what we ought to rejoice and sing about? That God is holy. That he is just. That everything he does is right. You know, I was going through a rough time one time in my life a few years back. And man, had my faith shaken to the core. And I think I've told y'all before, man, used to come up here. I was just going through a rough time. I'd come up here and preach and didn't know if I believed half what I was preaching. And God spoke to my heart one day and said, he said, I'm right. And man, just that little thing, just to know that, it basically told me, hey, you don't need to worry about what you, I'm right. And you need to know that, that I'm right. And God is right. And he does right. And he don't make a mistake. And he hadn't been, nothing snuck up on him. And so we need to remember that God is right. And that he does right things. And that he allows things in our life, for a reason. And we need to remember God's favor that he's had in our life. And then in verse 5, he says this. He says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We need to remember, and again, see things in, we need to see God in our life. We need to see his favor and the things that he's blessed us with. Again, see everything through that positive lens and see everything through the blessings that God has given us. And see it in our circumstances and see it in our problems. And, you know, when we look at a problem, and by the way, I hate a problem, amen. You know, you'll hear some people say, I love problems, man. The chance, the opportunity. I don't like them. I just want everything to sail smoothly. I don't need opportunities to be a hero. Let's just let everything go great. But man, we have a problem. Here's what the psalmist said. Here's what David said. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know what David was letting us know tonight? That things are going to change. Man, when things were good, now they're bad, and guess what? They're going to change again. They're going to get good again. And we go through seasons in our life. God is a seasonal God. He operates in seasons. And what we need to do is endure and go through these seasons and understand that God's at work. And he's doing some things that maybe we don't understand. But we do know that joy comes in the morning. We do know that those things will change. So we need to praise God in our problems. Then in verse 7, it says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. He said, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. We need to also praise God when we're prospering and when all things are going good, when we can say, man, God has made my mountain to stand strong. He's blessed my fields, or he's done whatever the case may be. We need to praise God. I've said this many times, but there's really two types of people. Really three types. There's some people that want to praise God when everything's good. And when things get bad, they don't want to have nothing to do with him. There's some people that want to run to God when things get bad. And when things get good, they don't want to have nothing to do with him. You know those people? Like, they're not here, but man, let their car break down, they'll show back up. They need God. Or let them run to a problem, then they're going to come back. Then there are some people, which is the type of people that we need to be. It says, good or bad, we're going to just stand for the Lord. Come what may, whether we're in a good season or a bad season, whether we're having a plentiful harvest or we're having a lean crop, we're going to bless the Lord during all of those things. David, when he's building his house. You know what we can do? Y'all can go over there and read what David's house looked like. Man, I bet it was a fine thing to see. King Solomon's house. Here he is. He's the king. Everything is great. He's praising the Lord. But you know what? When he was in a cave hiding for his life, you know what he was doing? He was praising the Lord. When he didn't have nothing, when he was broke and didn't know if he was going to live or die the next day, he said, God is still God. So that's what we must do as well. Now, when we do that, God responds to us. Again, there's our responsibilities and then there's God's response. When we praise God, no matter what is going on in our life, let me tell you what God's going to respond to. He's going to respond by blessing us. Now, he might not bless me and get my problems fixed. He might not bless me and give me money and give me a full belly, but let me tell you what he will do. He'll bless us with contentment. He'll bless us with fulfillment. He'll bless us with peace. He'll bless us with joy. And folks, what more could you want? You know, we were talking outside. Brian and David were talking, and And they just use the statement, peace of mind, right? Peace of mind is a good thing, is it not? To lay your head down at night and just have peace of mind. That I know I'm in a good place, that I know I'm doing right, that I know I've done all I could do. And man, just to have that peace, well, God will give us that. Man, I think about Paul and Silas and when they're in jail and guess what? Their circumstances didn't change and they were still in jail. But guess what God did? God gave them joy enough to sing and praise to God. You know, another thing that's interesting I was thinking about a while ago, throughout all the scriptures, when you read about people praying for other people or encouraging other people, you know what you hardly ever see? You hardly ever see them pray that their circumstances will change. They hardly ever say, man, I hope that'll change and, man, things will be good for you. You know what they always pray for? For grace and for peace and for strength and for courage. They don't ever pray for better days. They just pray for that we could have the strength and courage to go through the days that we have. And God will do that if we praise Him. If we give Him the honor and glory that His name deserves, He'll bless us with those things that really money cannot buy, to have that joy and peace that God can give. Then the other thing David did during all this, when he was on the run from Saul and encountering very difficult days, is David prayed to God. Verse 2 says this, O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Verse 8 says this, I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. Verse 10 says, Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. Obviously, a very familiar passage is this, that we have not because we ask not. And I really do believe that in our lives tonight, one of the main reasons that we do not have more, when we're talking about those things that God will give us, I think the reason why we don't have more peace in our life is we haven't asked for much of it. I think we don't have much contentment and fulfillment in our life because we do not ask God for it. If we were honest tonight, I think probably the biggest failure, maybe in my life and probably in the life of the church, is that we do too many things in our own power. I try to handle my own problems. I try to fix things myself. And I know me, I don't know why I would do that, but I do try to do it. And I can tell you what, I know enough about me and I know enough about God that I should say I never need to handle my own problems and I always need to give them over to God, but yet I still try to do it myself. I'm going to try to fix, you know, you want think you can fix every situation. And the reality is there's very little that we can fix. The Bible says this, it said, can a man, by giving any thought, add an inch to his stature? Or can a leopard change its spots, but yet we're going to try to change ourselves or change others or change our circumstances? And the reality is we can't do it. What we can do is we can pray to God. David was in a place where Saul was pursuing him. And guess what David was? David was just at the mercy of the things that was happening. I mean, he ran and he tried to hide. He tried to do all this, but he was at the mercy of God. And all throughout that, he prayed to God for help and for guidance and for what he needed to do. You know, an amazing thing about David, he wouldn't touch Saul because Saul was God's anointed. Even though Saul was wicked and had turned evil and was trying to kill David, David had enough respect for the office that Saul held to say, I'm not going to touch God's anointing. He even went and cut off a piece of Saul's robe there one night and got convicted that he even got that close. See, he wanted to let Saul know, say, hey, buddy, I could have got you tonight. And he probably thought that'd get him to back up. Say, hey, look, I didn't kill you. Now you don't kill me. And he got convicted for even doing that. He was just saying, I'm going to trust God. And he prayed and asked God for all this help. Now, for us tonight, not only do we need to praise God, but we need to spend a whole lot more time in prayer. I think I don't think there'd probably be anybody here tonight who says, you know what, I pray enough. I think all of us would probably say, yeah, I could probably pray a little bit more. You know, I could probably trust God with a little bit more of my prayer. I probably could commit some more things to prayer. And so tonight, when we talk about prayer, it's something that all of us could improve on. And by the way, also, let's don't do this. I know that you are faithful people that know the answers. You're here on a Sunday night. I know that you do. But let's don't just kind of shrug prayer off as no big deal. Prayer is actually the thing that calls God to action. Prayer is the thing that makes things change and really sets the stage for God to do amazing things. The devil, the reason why it's so hard to pray, and listen to me, I find prayer the hardest thing to do in my life. It's not that hard for me to read the Bible. I know some people find that hard. It's not that hard for me to get in the Bible. I like getting in the Bible. It's hard for me to pray. It's hard for me to pray. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I'll tell you the biggest reason is because the devil don't want me praying. He doesn't want me praying. I've told y'all the story before when I was a little kid and my daddy worked shift work and he had to get up early in the morning and me and my sister was in there and it was summertime. So we were out of school and we'd stay up all night and watch TV and all this other stuff. And I used to like to wrestle. And I picked my sister up. I was going to power bomb my sister on some pillows. And I would teach her how to, you know, I like professional wrestling. So I was trying to teach her how to do it. I said, look, when I pick you up like this, I had her head between my legs. I said, when I pick you up like this, you need to sit up, you know, do a sit up and I'll slam you on these pillows. Well, I got her up. She started squirming and I dropped her and her head hit our brick fireplace. She went to start to cry and I did just like that. I put my hand over her mouth because I knew if she cried out and woke Daddy up that he was going to come down the hall and it was going to be problems for us and more importantly, problems for me, right? Well, in the same sense, the devil does like this in our mouth a lot of time because you know what he knows? He knows that if we cry out that Daddy's going to hear and he's coming. He wants to answer prayers. He wants his people to cry out to him. He wants to come through. He wants to do that stuff. And so it's really crazy for us that we have a God in heaven, a heavenly Father that wants to answer our prayers, but yet we won't cry out to him. And the devil plays a big part in it. So let's don't shrug prayer off as no big deal. Prayer is the greatest tool that we have, and it changes lives. Then the last thing we see that David did, and I think this is so important. Verse 6, it said, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. You know what David was saying there? He said, I'm going to persevere and I'm going to stay the course. The Apostle Paul said, I've run my race and I've finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And what we have to do is say that there's going to be times where things get tough, just like it got tough for David. And David said, I'm never going to be moved. I'm going to make a commitment that I'm never going to be moved. And he said, I said it in my prosperity that I'm never going to be moved. I'm going to be here. You know, I told somebody, I can't remember who I was talking to the other day, but we were talking about something and talking about how people change and people do all this stuff. And I said, one thing that I try to strive for is when people are going to do all this, I always want to tell them, when you come back and find me, when you come back and see what I'm doing, you're going to find me where you left me. And I'm still going to be doing the same thing that I was doing when you left. I remember we grew up going to Ben's Ford Church and Brother Lynn had a rough year one year. His son died and the school principal and his wife left the school and his associate pastor, who was very popular in the church and youth pastor, he left, you know, and somebody asked him when our youth pastor left, said, what are we going to do now? And I never forget what he said, and it's something that stuck with me all the time. He said, well, I was serving God before he came here, so I guess I'll just keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Right? And now, I'm sure it hurt. I know it hurt him, and I know he was hurting, but he said, I'm just going to stay the course no matter what happens. And that's what David said. In my prosperity, I said, I'm never going to be moved. And that's something that takes an intentional focus to say, I'm never going to be moved. I'm going to stay the course. Look what it said in verse 11. It said, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Now, when we see that, here's what we know about David again, that seasons change. There was a time when he was mourning, and now he's dancing. There was a time when he had sackcloth on, and now he's girded about with gladness. And the reason why he got to see that is because he said, I'm never going to be moved. I'm never going to be moved. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to do what I got to do. And he got to see the seasons change. So many people quit or give up or quit on God or forsake him when things are tough. And that is a bad move. That's a bad move. Someone told me one time as a pastor, they said, never resign on Monday morning. They said, at least wait till the end of the week. They said, Monday might be a bad day. You might have had a bad day at church Sunday, but you just need to let the week play out before you leave on a Monday morning, because things can change. Now, we also have to say, hey, I'm going to get through the tough times, and we're going to grind. I was talking to some people earlier too today that, you know, it's, everything's always easy when it's new and when things are fresh and all that stuff. But but what happens to everybody is there come a time where we got to grind through some times. And it's going to happen in your life. It's going to happen in your marriage. It's going to happen on your job. It's going to happen on that. And so we have to grind. It's going to happen spiritually for you. And we have to get through the grind. Now, you say, what happens? What does God do when we do that? If I say I'm not going to be moved, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to be like that song we sing. I'm like a tree planted by the living waters. I shall not be moved. You know what God does? God will strengthen you. Man, he'll come in and strengthen you, and he'll give you the strength to endure. He'll give you the courage to do it. He'll walk with you along the journey. He'll stay by your side. He'll hold your hand. He'll hold you up. But you got to say, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. See, we have a responsibility, and then God will do his part. If you say, I quit, you know what God will have to do? He'll have to say, okay. And then you go your own way. If you say, I'm not going to pray, I'm going to do things in my own power, you know what God says? Okay. Do it in your own power. And then if we say, I'm not going to praise God, I'm going to complain about all the things that's going on. You know what God will do? He'll say, okay. Well, then find somebody else to bless you. How about I take away some of the things I've already blessed you with? You know, I tell my kids, I told them the other day, I went out in the yard and, my kids really aren't, necessarily stingy or greedy kids. They don't ask. We were talking about that earlier. They don't ask for a whole lot, and they're not obsessed with things. But I was out in the yard, and here's an old baseball glove, old waterlogged, you know, been out in the yard, and I picked it up and I told the boys, I said, this is why you don't get new bats and gloves. This is why I don't spend money. But beside the gloves is a pair of boots I picked up the bus. This is why you get hand-me-down stuff, because it's how much you take care of it. Well, when we don't praise God, you know what I think God does? I think he does the same thing. You won't complain about what God's giving you? You know what he can say? I'll take this away. You have less. You have less than what I've given you. I'll bless you less then. If you don't think I've done enough, I'll just do less. And so we have a responsibility tonight David went through very tough times, and he seen it through to the other side, where he built his house overlooking Israel and Jerusalem, and man, was the king. People singing his praises, was doing great. How'd he get there? He praised God. He prayed to God, and he persevered and said, I'm going to see it through to the end. We have to do the same things every day. We need to praise God tomorrow for all his goodness and grace. We need to pray to God and ask God to do some things that that we can't do on our own. And we need to say, God, I'm going to persevere no matter what happens. One of my favorite Bible stories is when they were going to take them three Hebrew children and throw them in the fiery furnace. And they had the attitude that I think we all need to have. They said, our God is able to deliver us out your hand. But if he chooses not to, we just want you to know we're still not going to bow to you. And that's really how it is, right? I mean, hey, God can do whatever he wants to do, but we're going to do our part. And we're going to stand and do what's right, no matter what he chooses to do. Amen. Man, it's been good to be with you today. I hope you got a blessing,